Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network. I am Jim Smallman. I have a slight cold. I'm talking in my dad voice because my son's asleep. Welcome, the week before the Royal Rumble, my favourite WWE pay-per-view, to a little bit of a Royal Rumble preview Jim Makes Some List episode. Anyone who's familiar with Tuesday Night Jaw will know I've done these previously for SummerSlam and for Survivor Series, and I'm going to do one today for Royal Rumble, but with a slight change. You'll see what I mean in a sec. Before we get to me talking about the Royal Rumble, a few little things. My website, jimsmallman.com. My Twitter is at jimsmallman. If you want to point people in the direction of this website, jimsmallman.com/TNJ. If you would like to tweet me, then tweet at Jim Smallman. Use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw so I know you're talking to me about wrestling and not slagging off my choice of football team or the fact that I don't like the song Torn by Natalie Imbruglia, which has been most of my day today. And I found out, and I don't know if I need to talk to him about this, I don't know if this is legit, that Pip apparently played the solo on that. So, Mr. Scroobius Pip, if that is true, I apologise. I bear you no ill will, clearly, as the leader of the Distraction Pieces Network. But a few people are telling me I'm going to be fired. So this could well be the final ever Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network, as Scroobius Pip hunts me down and kills me for not appreciating his solo work. That's not why I don't like the song. It's just play to death. Sorry, Pip. There's nothing I'm going to do to talk my way out of this situation now, is there? Not a thing. Also, as well, please support the other podcasts on the Distraction Pieces Network. Obviously, Distraction Pieces itself, hosted by star of Taboo, Mr. Scroobius Pip, who's on Soccer AM in a beautiful old school Millwall shirt this past weekend. Also, Say Why to Drugs and the Stop and Search podcast as well. Yeah, check them out. Support them. They're cool podcasts that deserve your support, for they are ace and done by ace people. Also, my wrestling promotion, you should probably not forget that, Progress Wrestling, our website, progresswrestling.com, this is _progress on Twitter. I don't look after the Twitter account, don't presume the person tweeting you is me, it's not, it's John Briley, my business partner, normally, and demand-progress.com, should you want to watch all of our shows, including our most recent trip to Birmingham, which may or may not have featured Finn Balor and Tommy End just making a wee appearance. And we've got a show coming up this weekend as well in Camden. Same day as Royal Rumble. Tropic Thunder Bastard, because it features our signature Thunder Bastard match. And it's sold out, so you can't buy a ticket. So, soz. Apologies. Can't do anything about that. Right, anyway, let's get to this. So, Royal Rumble. I've always loved the Royal Rumble. I hate Battle Royals, is the thing. I hate a regular battle royal. There's never been a battle royal on a main Progress show for the reason that they just, I don't see the point of them. But the Royal Rumble is a battle royal, but has something special about behind it. So we're going to make two lists today. I did these earlier on while I was sat in a coffee shop waiting for my car to be serviced. So I've had a productive day. First of all, we're going to come up with our own Royal Rumble event. And how we're going to do this, and these are the rules, because you know I like rules when we're making a list. Here's the rules. You have to pick 30 names for the Royal Rumble. Easy. There's the rules. We're not going to decide in terms of the entrance order or anything like that. That's far too complicated. What you do need to choose, because there's a brand split, is I'm going to tell you to choose 10 SmackDown contracted wrestlers, 10 Raw contracted wrestlers. There'll probably be more than that in the Royal Rumble. It probably won't be 10 of each and then the extras that I'm going to add in. But that's what we're going to say for now. 10 SmackDown, 10 Raw, then 6 wrestlers from either NXT or 205 Live, or if you like, the WWE UK Championship. So so alternate programming from WWE. Feel free to choose someone from there. And then, because it's the Royal Rumble and part of the joy of the Royal Rumble, I remember watching it with a load of Progress fans a couple of years ago when Bubba Ray Dudley came out. And it was just the coolest. So we're going to choose 4 wild cards slash legends that we think may or may not rock up and be in the Royal Rumble. Okay, don't forget, this isn't based in reality. This is fantasy booking. And then we'll get down to our final 4 and who wins it in a second. Okay, so I'm going to run you through mine. And if you want to play doing this, again, you can tweet me yours, at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Probably easiest to write it in notes on your phone and screenshot it, then send me the picture rather than trying to get it all in 140 characters. You will struggle with that. There's 30 names. So here are my SmackDown selections. As a rule, I think I've nearly always picked people who aren't injured or anything like that. Also, there's kind of got to be balance in there. You can't just have 30 massive names. Some people do need to be eliminated fairly quickly. Some people do need to be fodder for the bigger stars. That's just how wrestling works. Not everyone can win all the time. Otherwise, it's a really weird situation you'll find yourself in as a promoter. So, apologies for my sniffling, by the way. I have an awful cold, so I apologise. Okay, SmackDown. My 10 picks from the SmackDown roster are as follows. Bray Wyatt, because I love him. I love him so much. I think he's absolutely wonderful. There's a new dimension to him at the minute, which is really interesting and really smart. Going with Bray Wyatt. Also, both of his Wyatt family cohorts. So, Randy Orton and Luke Harper. All in it together. Okay, I'm aware there's probably going to be some shenanigans with the Wyatt family on SmackDown tonight. But as I record this, it's late on a Tuesday night. I've not seen SmackDown yet. So, you know, you can probably pull me up on that. Even if there is some shenanigans, there's a storyline there. Plus, I really like Luke Harper. I think he's fantastic, absolutely fantastic as a performer. Loved him when he used to be Brody Lee on the Indies. And always pleased to see him on shows. I think he's great. And Randy Orton, there's just something that this whole storyline has brought out something different in Randy Orton. And it's made me go from someone who respects his work, but he's not necessarily the first person I look forward to seeing, to now actually going, you know what, I really like Randy Orton again, this is great. My next name number 4 from SmackDown, is perennial Tuesday Night Jaw favourite and a trigger lookalike, Barry Corbin. I know he's really called Baron, it's a running joke, go back and listen to the old episodes to find out why we're doing that, but I think Baron Corbin, there's a huge upside to him, and it's a shame we're not in the age of old school gimmicks like The Undertaker and Kane and people like that in the past, because Baron Corbin, being a big dude, could well have had one of those gimmicks. As it stands, just being a dude who likes metal, who's bigger than everybody else and mean, yeah, it works for me. Then I feel you've got to have Dean Ambrose in there. You'll note when I'm doing these lists, I do not have the current world champion, AJ Styles, on my SmackDown list, because he doesn't need to be in the Royal Rumble, because in theory he is the current world champion, and I do not have his challenger, John Cena, on the list. And it's the same for the Raw listing as well. There is no Roman Reigns on the list, and there is no Kevin Owens, because they're in major title matches, therefore they do not need to be in the Royal Rumble. That's normally how the Royal Rumble is presented, so they're not. I'm not choosing those guys. Little caveat I should have given you before. I'd like you to stick to that as well if you could. So yes, next up, Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose, hugely popular. Just the pop he gets for his music is fantastic. My wife thinks he's too greasy. I like the general sort of sleaziness of as a human being. And let's not forget, fantastic wrestler. Could be someone who could go a long way in the Royal Rumble and is utterly believable. You'd argue doesn't need to win it, has the Intercontinental title, but we'll see. And again, we're working here on the proviso that anyone who's in any other matches may well be in the Rumble. So again, fantasy booking, the only people I've excluded are the people in the major title matches because, you know, at least one of them will be holding the title going into WrestleMania, so it's pointless. Other people in other matches, I'm still letting them be in this. Next up, because you've got to have someone who can pinball around for everybody, Kalisto. I think Kalisto is fantastic. I think I've said this on Tuesday Night Joe before. I watched him at Dragon Gate in 2012 in Miami, a week after Progress's first show under his former identity, and was desperate to have him work for Progress. Got signed not too long after that, after a tryout, I believe. And do you know what? I find he's great to watch. Absolutely great to watch. Often, and we found this with the original Sin Cara, if you go back and watch Mystico, the original Sin Cara, when he was in Mexico, he was wonderful, one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Something didn't click when he became Sin Cara and went to the USA. And often luchadors can struggle to really win over an American crowd. I think what's interesting with wrestlers like Kalisto and like Rey Mysterio Jr. and like Pentagon Dark and people like that is they've got an American sensibility to them. So they've got Lucha Libre is, if you're not in tune with it, Lucha Libre can feel quite choreographed and can feel like there's a lot of rolls and cartwheels and stuff and a lot of arm drags and not necessarily a lot of the high impact stuff that you're used to seeing. I think Kalisto does that stuff great because he had a brilliant grounding on the US Indies before he went into WWE. Next up, because he's been doing... my wife noticed this. We watched last week's SmackDown the other day, and Dolph Ziggler had an interview segment with Jerry the King Lawler. Incidentally, check out Eros Comedy on Twitter. Jerry the King Lawler is doing a spoken word tour of the UK, promoted by Eros Comedy. I will be Mr. Lawler's support act at the show in London. Don't have the dates right in front of me at the moment, but Eros Comedy on Twitter. Go and check them out, and go and see Jerry Lawler. This is a man who's got decades of stories to tell. I'm super excited about doing the support stint his show at the Leicester Square Theatre in London. So come along and see me. Go along and see the other shows as well. I believe I want to say Manchester, Glasgow, Belfast, I think are the other ones. But Eros Comedy, go and check that out. And I'm probably going to bang on about it a bit in the next few weeks because I'm excited about doing it and I'd like to see a lot of you guys there. Just give me a high five, you know, the traditional Tuesday Night Jaw greeting. But yes, Dolph Ziggler did an interview segment with Jerry Lawler, and there, Dolph Ziggler as a babyface never did much for me. Dolph Ziggler as a heel does loads more for me because as a babyface, it didn't really make sense why he was a babyface. It was a show off and a bit arrogant and a bit vain. Well, they're heel characteristics. So I think now his sort of reinvention of himself gives him a new dynamic, makes him interesting again. So, you know, sometimes you can turn people too much. I think they've held off long enough, and turning Dolph makes perfect sense. Speaking of heels, you will be familiar if you're a regular Tuesday Night Jaw listener with knowing that myself, Scroobius Pip, pretty much every guest we've ever had on here, believes The Miz is the greatest heel in wrestling. I do enjoy The Miz trying to make his wife corpse, and it feels that he does that in most shows now. But The Miz is wonderful and has had a great year of being really good at being a dick. So you got to have The Miz in there, I think. He's a huge star. Huge upside from the SmackDown point of view. Then, I mentioned it before, you need someone to come in and be a valiant loser. And I'm sorry, Mr. Wrestling Memes, but the person I choose for that is Heath Slater. Comes out, gets a big pop for his music, comes out, everyone's like, yeah, Heath's here, and he can be eliminated pretty much as soon as he gets in the ring and doesn't lose anything because that's part of his charm. Or you can actually give him a bit of a run in there and see where that takes him. You can do either way with Heath Slater, and I like Heath a lot. I think he's got a good look to him. He's clearly a very talented wrestler, and he's he's not scared of being told to do something and running with it. And that's, it's a very valiant thing to do. Look, as a wrestling promoter, what you really want is people to turn around to you and say, I am willing to work hard for you, and for you to go, thanks. And for people to say, I will do, you know, if you need me to get beat, I'll do that. If you need me to win, I'll do that. If you need me to be opening the show, middle of the card, I'm not bothered. As long as I'm working and I can, you know, I'll do my best and try and impress you. That's all you want. The great thing about being a promoter through Progress is everyone who works for us is like that. You know, not everyone can be your champion or your Atlas champion or your tag team champions. So you need a whole roster of guys who are willing to make everyone else look good and work together. And I think Heath Slater embodies that in WWE. He's just, you know, he struggled with his gimmick for a bit and he's stuck at it and done as he's told, and now he's had a bit of a resurgence, and good for him. My final pick from SmackDown, and I'm not entirely sure if he is on the SmackDown roster or not, is The Undertaker. The reason I say this is I'm fairly sure he was drafted to SmackDown, but he has appeared on Raw. So I'm picking The Undertaker, because you need The Undertaker in the Royal Rumble, if only for setting up whoever he's going to face at WrestleMania. I don't know who that will be at the minute. I think we're definitely looking at Brock versus Goldberg, and more on that in a second. But I don't know. I genuinely don't know who The Undertaker will be facing at this point. But I think, you know, you could potentially have him face Bray Wyatt or someone like that, and make it really cool and really interesting. So we'll see. I know they've done Undertaker Wyatt before, and it wasn't necessarily amazing box office, but it was still solid. So we'll see. On to the Raw roster. So again, 10 names from the Raw roster. Again, Kevin Owens not included. Roman Reigns is number one contender, not included, because one of those guys will be champion coming out of the show, so therefore there's no point putting them in the Royal Rumble. So I choose Big Cass, because I genuinely think Big Cass will be in the Royal Rumble this year, and I also think Big Cass will get the Kane / Roman Reigns push, where he pretty much gets to eliminate a ton of people and look like a monster, because that's kind of what he does, isn't it? So I genuinely think that will happen. I think that'll be something that I think WWE will do. It would make sense to do it, because Cass can talk, looks good, is really tall, and is great. So, you know, I'd be excited to see that. I think he's a fantastic wrestler. So I would include Big Cass. I would also include Enzo, partly because Enzo, it's believable if Enzo gets eliminated quickly, but I like Enzo. I think Enzo's really good, so that's who I'd like to see. I've then included two men who we know will be in it, in Goldberg and Lesnar. I'd have them in it anyway, even if we didn't think they were going to be included in it, or whatever, I'd have them in it. I love Brock Lesnar. I think watching Brock Lesnar is one of my pleasures in wrestling. And I've been surprised with how good Goldberg's been, although, you know, making himself bleed during his promo this week was a bit odd. But, no, I think you've got to have them both in there. And there's got to be a point where, I mean, if I was putting it together, there'd be a point where maybe Brock would come out. So let's say we're at number 20. Brock comes out, clears out everybody, just kills everybody in the space of 2 minutes, and then stood in the ring alone, looking pleased with himself, right as the 2 minute buzzer hits, Goldberg's music, boom, and then you can go into it from there. if that's how they do it, we'll see. Another monster needs to go in there from Raw, someone I've been really impressed with, and that's Braun Strowman. I think Braun's been really good, and I know that the expectation when you get a big old dude like Braun, who's you know, a strong man and not hasn't been wrestling that long, the expectation is for people to go, oh, he's one of those guys WWE always like. Yeah, but first of all, if you're being an independent wrestling promoter, it's really difficult, certainly in Britain, to have guys who are massively different size to the guys that we normally use. So if you look at the Progress roster, quite a lot of guys on the Progress roster are somewhere between 5'8" tall and 6 foot tall, and often somewhere between 170 and 200 pounds. That's most of our roster. It's one of the reasons we have an Atlas title is to showcase the guys who are a bit bigger, because as a rule, if you're a British wrestler, you're probably a cruiserweight. It's why, for example, our show in Birmingham, it's why a tag team like Ringkampf stood out so much, is Walter is huge and Axel Dieter Jr. is way bigger than I expected him to be. You know, he's easily 6'3". And it makes them look quite striking. In the case of WWE, you've got a lot of guys who are 6'2", 6'3". You need guys who are genuine monsters. Strowman is a genuine monster. And there's something really intimidating and terrifying about, you know, the kids in the crowd seeing someone like that. And also, even if you're a grown fan, you look at someone like that and think, well, he'd be able to rip my arms off and beat me to death with them. And Strowman does look that way, but he can back it up. He can wrestle. He's not a great Khali, and he's not as tall, but he's not someone like Great Khali, who wasn't that mobile. Was certainly intimidating to look at, but wasn't hugely mobile. I think in the case of Strowman, he's been proving himself really, really well. And, you know, I'm quite excited to see Strowman, which is not a phrase I would have thought I would have been saying about him, but I genuinely have a lot of time for him. Up next, Strowman's recent adversary and Sami Zayn. I love Sami. Any excuse to get Sami Zayn in the show, I just think he's fantastic. Also think he's someone you could bring him in maybe in the first five and have him last until maybe, you know, 20-ish. So he has a big long run in it and looks impressive whilst not necessarily threatening to win it. Next up, Seth Rollins, who is, as we all know, just fantastic. My wife has an issue with Seth Rollins, and she doesn't understand why he's called the Architect. And I've tried explaining to her that it's really his trade. We're not back in the old school days of WWE where everyone had a trade. but she can't understand why he's called the Architect. I'm kind of with her a little bit. I don't understand why he's the Architect either. But fantastic wrestler, that is for damn sure. And I loved Seth Rollins when he was in Ring of Honor. He's part of my favourite storyline in wrestling history, which is the Age of the Fall storyline with Jimmy Jacobs and Necro Butcher. And just one. If you've never seen it, go and, you know, go back through the Ring of Honor archives and check it out, because it is phenomenal. But yeah, Seth Rollins, I think, is wonderful, and I'd love to see him in it. Now, I know I said we won't have anyone who's involved in the title match, but I meant the two competitors, the champion Kevin Owens and his challenger Roman Reigns. I am going to include the man who's going to be suspended in a shark cage above the ring in Chris Jericho, because Jericho's had a resurgence this year. He's managed to get over little things like saying the word "it" and having a list. And I think it's a no-brainer to have him in the Royal Rumble. He's someone who's got legitimacy to being a champion. And if you think about it, if Kevin Owens retains and Chris Jericho gets to the last four or five, there's a genuine buzz in the air of they're going to make the best friends fight each other. I don't think that's where they'll go with it, but you've got to try and give fans enough possibilities. When Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble, which is not as much of a failure as a lot of people would like to make out, my one criticism of that match was, once you were down to the last few, there was no way Roman Reigns wasn't winning. He was winning. So you know, there's just little things like that you got to be aware of. You need to, going into the last few, you need to give people reason to suspect that anyone could win it. Controversially, I'm not going to put Rusev in, mainly because I've got limitations of 10 people I want to put in. I think Rusev's great, but the two people I want to put in next, you'll see why. One's Kofi Kingston, because Kofi doesn't need to be in there for too long. Gets all three members of the New Day to come out. And, let's be honest, Kofi will have spent the last year dreaming up a way to somehow get thrown out of the ring, but land on his feet and do something crazy. And I want to see that. That's the kind of stuff I like seeing. So Kofi Kingston's got to be in. And my final selection from the Raw roster, and I am fairly certain he won't be in it, is a man I play musical chairs with. No, it's not Tom, who won the musical chairs at Progress in Birmingham. It's Finn Balor. Now, I'm pretty certain that Mr. Balor is not fit enough to be in it, but I can dream, can't I? I think just the reaction his music would get and him coming out would be amazing. If he came out early enough, he wouldn't need to win it. If he came out late enough, him being in the last four would be... it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? So, you know, fingers crossed, but let's see. Then we get to my picks from NXT and 205 Live. I haven't chosen anyone from the WWE United Kingdom Championship, purely because I like everybody who's in it, and I would feel, as a UK wrestling promoter, I'd feel daft choosing one or two people from it, because I respect and love everyone who's in it. So I've not chosen anyone from that. And there's nothing to suggest anyone from WWE UK Championship Tournament will be in the Royal Rumble anyway. It will be quite a step from that programme to be on the Royal Rumble. But I have chosen four gentlemen from NXT and two from 205 Live. I'll do the 205 Live ones first. First of all, Rich Swann, because Rich Swann is the Cruiserweight Champion. Therefore, I think she'll be in the Royal Rumble. I think you can have him come in and be eliminated by Neville, who I haven't put in the Royal Rumble, the main reason being so he's got something else to complain about, because Neville's thing at the minute seems to be complaining about missed opportunities and things he's not allowed to do. So there you go. I would also put in, because he is as over as it's possible to be, Jack Gallagher. Yes, Jack is a friend of the podcast. Yes, Jack is a friend of mine. I'm going to be watching the Royal Rumble somewhere in London after our show, and if Jack comes out during the Royal Rumble, I will literally lose my mind. That's why I want it to happen. I will lose my mind. Then we get to my four from NXT. I think a couple of these are obvious choices. I think this should be where, for me, this is where Samoa Joe debuts on the main roster. I'd love to see that. I love Joe. I'm a little bit biased because he's appeared for Progress, and I consider him a friend as much as it's possible to be friends with a man that terrifying. But I'd love to see Joe in this. I'd love to see Joe come out, you know, late on in the Royal Rumble, eliminate a couple of people who look really strong. I think that'd be great, especially if he eliminates someone quite senior to set up a program with him. Maybe the Undertaker. Oh, that'd be sweet. I'd also like to see Nakamura in it, not as a promotion from NXT to the main roster, but I'd just quite like to see Nakamura. I think Nakamura's music hitting would make people lose their minds, especially with an NXT show in San Antonio the day before. I think we're all rooting for number 10 to be Ty Dillinger, right? I mean, if Ty Dillinger doesn't come out at number 10, we're all going to sulk for a long period of time. So, fingers crossed, Ty Dillinger comes out at number 10. That would be sweet. And my final pick, and again, it's because I'd like to see him, it's my Rumble, is the artist formerly known as Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno. I know he, because of our TV tapings work, I don't think he's officially debuted yet. I think it's probably this week. But I would love to see him there, especially knowing that I think he appears for Evolve on either Friday or Saturday in Texas. I would absolutely love if Mr. Ohno turned up and appeared during the Royal Rumble and just you know, elbowed a few people in the face. I'd be a big fan of that. You probably hear my son crying in the background now, which means he's awake. My wife is tending to him. If he cries for a bit, don't panic. We're not neglecting him. let you into a little Smallman family secret. What we're doing with Baby Cloudy at the minute is we're taking his dummy off of him when he goes to bed in a bid to make him sleep better. The problem is this is a tough training process that we're having to go through, and he is not a fan of it at the moment, let's put it that way. So he might kick off a bit, but the missus is looking after him, so if you hear him, I apologise. You probably didn't hear him at all now, and I'm probably sound like I'm talking about a phantom child, but he does exist. He is my son, it's called Claudio. Okay, so finally, to my four wildcards / legends that I would put in the Royal Rumble this year, I would put in, here we go, I think the first one, like, for me this is an obvious choice, is, but they've said he's going to go in the Hall of Fame, so I put Kurt Angle in it. Imagine Kurt Angle's music hitting. Like, it's such a familiar theme, and even if you've not seen him for 10 years, his music hitting would make people lose their minds. And we know he can still wrestle, he's still wrestling all over the place. So Kurt Angle coming out would, for me, I'd lose it. I'd probably lose it. I'm super excited that he's going in the Hall of Fame as well, because he's genuinely one of my favourite wrestlers of all time. I would also, because San Antonio is his hometown, put HBK in it. Even if he just comes out, super kicks a couple of people and gets eliminated, that's enough. Again, you know, sexy boy being played in his hometown will make the place go nuts. So for me, I'd love to see HBK out there. Then two more slightly left field legend slots that I would put in. Purely because such a big deal has been made out of his recovery and his redemption, I'd have Jake the Snake Roberts come out. Again, I think it'd get a huge nostalgia pop. He doesn't need to do loads, just one short arm clothesline, one DDT, I'm happy. But I think that would be a really wonderful thing to see, and a super positive story. And it's nice to have the positive stories with his, you know, his recovery from the various many demons and illnesses and ailments that were bothering him. So I think that'd be great. And my final one is, and this is purely because I love someone getting up from the announce table and wandering into the Royal Rumble, and because he's also a Texan, I'd like JBL to go in it. And again, literally can go in. I'd like to think he's wearing a suit like Cesaro, rip the suit off, get in the ring, clothesline from hell somebody, and then that's that. That's all it needs to be. But I think, again, it'd get a nice pop. I'd be happy to see that. So, remember, the rules of this. 10 from SmackDown, 10 from Raw. You're not allowed to choose the two competitors in each title match from SmackDown and Raw. 6 from NXT / 205 Live / WWE United Kingdom Championship Tournament. And 4 wild cards / legends. I mean, all 4 of mine are legends. Who would my final four be? My final four would be Seth Rollins, who is my pick to win it. Chris Jericho. Dean Ambrose. And Samoa Joe. That's my last four. And again, I think my pick to win it, Seth Rollins. Yeah, we'll see how it plays off. I think there's plenty of options for people to win it. For me, Rollins seems the one that would suit it the most. But, you know, if we could have a huge surprise. And sometimes it's nice to be surprised. Sometimes it's nice to have catharsis. I would not be unhappy with Rollins winning it. I would not be unhappy with Goldberg or Lesnar winning it. I would not be unhappy with Ambrose or Wyatt winning it. I certainly wouldn't be unhappy if... Imagine if they let someone like Samoa Joe debut like this and then win the Royal Rumble. Imagine how cool that would be. You know, if Finn Balor makes his comeback, which I really, genuinely, I'm 99% certain he won't. But if he did, that would be a huge story as well, wouldn't it? So there's loads of cool stuff there. And again, let me know your choices. 10 from SmackDown, 10 from Raw, 6 from NXT / 205 / the UK Championship. 4 legends. You don't need to worry about letting me know your final four. You can if you want. At Jim Smallman, # Tuesday Night Jaw. And I've got another list that I want you to think about now. Okay, so this is the other list. You know, I always, people have been tweeting me in the week going, are you going to choose your top 10 matches from the Royal Rumble? Yes, I am. The problem is, so you know I have rules when I do this, and the rules are this. You can't...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can't choose. You can choose 10 matches. You can't choose 2 matches from the same year. Nope. And you can't choose the same wrestler twice. However, there's going to be a proviso on this. I have chosen 10 matches. 10 matches that are not Royal Rumble matches. And my favourite Royal Rumble match. Okay? So that's how we're going to do this. 10 matches where you can't choose the same wrestler twice in any of your matches. You can't choose 2 matches from the same card. And a Royal Rumble match where I'm completely fine with people appearing in it. If we do that rule of wrestlers can't appear in the Rumble match, we won't be able to choose a Rumble match. It would be impossible. So that's how we're doing it, okay? So I'll give you my 10 matches, and then I'll tell you my favourite Rumble match. I reckon you can probably guess my favourite Rumble match now. Have you guessed? Okay, hold it in your head, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Okay, so my top 10 matches. At number 10, Royal Rumble 2010, and it's The Undertaker against Rey Mysterio, World Heavyweight Championship match. It's quite a cool match, mainly because Mysterio gets thrown around a load, which is great, and it's really difficult to do a big man, little man match when the difference is so vast between a man who's, 6'10" and a lad who's 5'4". But testimony to both guys involved in it. It wasn't a match going into it that I cared loads about. By the end of it, it was like, oh, this is really good. And you genuinely believed that Rey Mysterio would beat him. But, you know, also any match where I get to see The Last Ride, my favourite of all the Undertaker finishes, is cool with me. So that's my number 10 choice. My number 9 choice comes from the Royal Rumble in 2016. I can't remember if I just said the date, the year for my number 10 choice. It was 2010, by the way. So Royal Rumble 2016 is the Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens Intercontinental title match, which is a last man standing match. It's nuts. It's two guys who are suitably nuts. Two guys that I really, really appreciate. As you know, Kevin Owens, as Bears, is one of my favourite wrestlers in the world. I think he's fantastic. And last man standing matches are hard to do because it requires a lot more patience than a basic pinfall or a submission. You know, there's not the... If someone kicks out at 2.5, there's a genuine ooh in a crowd. When someone gets up for a 10 count at 8, it's kind of like, all right, okay, they're carrying on now. And there's that expectation. You've got to do something absolutely nuts for someone to not be able to meet the 10 counts. In this case, it was Kevin Owens going through a couple of tables, but which was believable, But it didn't feel like as a match. These matches can sometimes overstay their welcome, or sometimes work off the off quite ridiculous bumps. But in this case, it didn't overstay his welcome. I thought it was fantastic. Also, a nuts move in this match is Kevin Owens doing a fisherman buster off the top rope, which through a table, which is, it's not a move you get to say very often. It sounds like a move that you can only really do if you're in an E-Fed. That's what it sounds like to me. It's not a move that's done very often. So that's number nine. Number eight on my list, we're going back to Royal Rumble 2007, tag team match. It's, again, it was the opening match of the night. The Hardys, Matt and Jeff, versus Eminem, Joe Mercury and Johnny Nitro. It's just a good bit of tag team wrestling, to be honest. I've always appreciated the Hardys. I'm not a super Hardys mark, and I'm probably one of very few people in the world who's not a massive fan of the whole broken Hardys delete type situation. Don't get me wrong, it's entertaining. It's just not for me, and it makes me feel like a really old man when I say that. I've not broken out the it's not wrestling because I'm not Jim Cornette, but it's not for me. Like, if people are entertained by it, that's cool. And, you know, if you are entertained by it, brilliant. If you want to tell me why you're entertained by it, while still appreciating that it's wrestling, if you're entertained by it from the point of view that it's something different and it's entertaining, then that's fine. But that doesn't mean it's wrestling. So what in a wrestling context entertains you about the Hardy stuff at the minute? I genuinely want to know, because for me, I watch it and go, eh, but it's not. I'd rather watch wrestling. So, you know, what is it that entertains you about it? If you're into that stuff, I want to know, because I'd like to understand why people enjoy it. Because as a promoter, you need to understand why people like everything, rather than just going, I wouldn't have done that. That's not the right way to do anything, and it's certainly not how we do Tuesday Night Jaw. So, at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw, if you want to let me know. But anyway, the Hardys back in the day. It's just a good match. Eminem were great as well. Really, really great. And it, you know, there's nothing spectacular in this match. It's just enjoyable, and it's a nice match to start off the start of the show. Another great Hardys match at Royal Rumble is, of course, in Royal Rumble 2000, tables match, Hardys against the Dudleys. Fantastic match, but for reasons that will become very, very obvious, and are probably already really obvious, couldn't choose that, already chose something else from that. You'll see. Okay, so that was number eight. Number seven, we're going all the way back to Royal Rumble 1995. And I think this is something that, this is a match that has taken me a little while to appreciate as much as I appreciate it now. And it's a WWF at the time, World Heavyweight Championship match. So it was Diesel defending the title against Bret Hart. Now, Kevin Nash is someone who I appreciate in terms of his promos and his personality and his involvement with the NWO, which is one of the most important wrestling storylines ever. He's not necessarily a workhorse in the ring, and never has been. You know, he's always been solid, but never a workhorse. In this match, he is against a workhorse in Bret Hart. And it's a fantastic match. One of very few times where a non-finish still makes me go, I still enjoyed that. Because it ended in a draw after a good 25 minutes or so. Referee was knocked out. Interference from Jeff Jarrett, Shawn Michaels, and Owen Hart and Bob Backlund. And it all kicked off. And it furthered other storylines whilst making Diesel and Bret Hart look strong. And at the time, I remember thinking, this is all right. Going back and watching it recently, I'm like, this is really good. Really, really good. You know, arguably, one of Kevin Nash's best ever matches. I'm struggling to think of a better match that he was involved in now. It's a fantastic match. So, you know, try and seek that out on the WWE Network if you can, because I think it genuinely think it's a cracker. So that was 1995. That's my number seven choice. My number six choice, back into the present a little bit, up to 2014. And someone I've already mentioned earlier on, in Bray Wyatt, who we have got, Tuesday Night Raw, got a lot of time for, everyone's favourite Rob Zombie lookalike. I think Bray Wyatt's great, and this was right at the beginning of his kind of mega push, if you like, where he took on Daniel Bryan. This is another opening match from a Royal Rumble pay-per-view as well. It's fitting in a pattern. This for me was interesting because I didn't expect Bray Wyatt to be as dominant over Daniel Bryan as he was. But there's no such thing as a bad Daniel Bryan match. Someone's going to correct me now. But for my money, you know, if you look at his entire body of work, there's barely any. I don't think there's a single bad Daniel Bryan match. There might be a couple of okay Daniel Bryan matches, but that's probably more down to his opponent than down to him. He's arguably one of the greatest of a generation. And him and Bray Wyatt was genuinely magnificent. Some properly nuts stuff in this match as well. And quite a lot of Sister Abigail's, which is a move that I both enjoy and don't always necessarily understand why it would hurt someone. But I do enjoy it, and I enjoy the pageantry leading up to it. You know, a wrestler in a country like America, a wrestler being allowed to kiss his opponent before he does it something is really, maybe it's because I watched the first series of True Detective and found huge elements of Bray Wyatt's character in that TV series. Maybe it's that. It's just there's something really creepy about him doing it, and it kind of sinister sort of backwoods cult leader character that he had going on. It's just there's something really special about it, and that was back when it still, you know, it wasn't brand new, but it still felt new and felt fresh at that time. And the clever thing that WWE have done recently is they have kind of just tweaked him and reinvented him a little bit, and I think that's genuinely smashing. Right, also as a point of note, I really enjoyed the Royal Rumble that year. I know a lot of people will go, what? You enjoyed the Royal Rumble that year? Yeah, I did. I did enjoy the Royal Rumble. The Daniel Bryan thing is obviously what overshadowed it. And Batista winning it overshadowed it a little bit as well, because it felt a little bit telegraphed. But there are things to enjoy in that Royal Rumble match. Okay? There is. For example, CM Punk, Seth Rollins being in the Royal Rumble for a long time is, you know, was enjoyable. There were, you know, Kevin Nash, who I mentioned before, him wandering out was interesting as well. And there was loads of fun stuff in there. Yeah, I know people didn't like the finish, and I know people were genuinely gutted that Daniel Bryan wasn't in it, but it ended up working out for the best for Daniel Bryan, because WWE made the best out of that situation and they reacted to it. So, you know, at the time people were pissed, but you know, up until the end I was really enjoying that Rumble. In retrospect, I can now enjoy that Rumble because it led to other stuff. Right, so that was number 6, 2014 Royal Rumble, Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan. Number 5 coming up next, all the way back to 1993, as two tag team partners, former tag team partners, clashed, and it was tremendous. Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty. Shawn Michaels at the time, Intercontinental Champion, just great match, probably great match. I can't remember if this is the first. This is when Shawn Michaels started using the super kick, because for a long time he used the teardrop suplex, didn't he? A fantastic match between two guys. There's something really special about former tag team partners, people who are clearly very, very good friends, wrestling each other, and it's a great match. Wasn't the opening match on this show, just so you're aware, but big fan of this match. And I assure you, you know, sometimes you can go back and watch stuff from 1993, it doesn't necessarily hold up to matches these days. I recommend you go and watch this, because you watch it and go, oh god, that was really good, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Trust me, Really, really good match. 1993 Royal Rumble. Go and watch it on the network while you, you know, maybe you're waiting, waiting for the show to start on Sunday, Sunday night. So, you know, I'd recommend going back and watching that. In fact, watch all these matches. Let me know what you think of them. At Jim Smallman. Hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. But Royal Rumble 1993. Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty, fantastic. I actually think they had a, better match on Raw around that time as well, which might have been when they did a title switch. But this match, genuinely great. Genuinely great. Okay. Number four. Number four, we are headed to 2013. And there's been quite a lot of really good undercard matches recently on the Royal Rumble. It's felt much more like they're as important as the Rumble itself. So we got on to 2013, which is, weirdly, this is the main event over the Royal Rumble. So sometimes this has happened, not happened all the time, but it does happen from time to time. But the main event was CM Punk against The Rock. Now, I am a huge mark for CM Punk, always have been, one of my favourite wrestlers. I am straight edge, that's probably one of the reasons why I'm a little bit biased. And The Rock disappeared to Hollywood, came back, did, you know, did this. It's a properly good match, and this was the end of CM Punk's 434-day title reign. It felt like a historic end. It felt like the right way to end Punk's title reign was, you know, he had to lose to someone massive, and he lost to The Rock, who, you know, doesn't really get much bigger than The Rock at the time. So, you know, I know The Rock wasn't necessarily a full-time wrestler, but it felt big, it felt massive. And also, what was amazing watching this match was The Rock's not lost a step. I bet if you put The Rock in a match now, he'd still kick ass and still be brilliant. Genuinely, he's a special talent. I don't think you ever, maybe it's like riding a bike, maybe once you've wrestled you never really lose it, but tremendous. And yeah, I mean, there's some shenanigans in the match. The Shield's involved, Vince McMahon's involved, but still a great match. Okay, number three. 2015. Fast forward to a couple more years. And this would easily be the top of several people's lists, I reckon. It's hard. For me, the top three that I'm going to tell you, that this one and number two, really difficult to determine which one goes where. In the case of my number one, it's always winning. There's no question about it. So, triple threat match from 2015's Royal Rumble between Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and Seth Rollins. Just a stupidly good match. I was watching this in a bar with Progress fans and was blown away by how good it was. So, so good. All kinds of nuts stuff. And Brock Lesnar looking like a monster with Seth Rollins busting out moves that you hadn't seen for ages. I think he did a Phoenix Splash at one point. Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury wandering in and being involved in it. And John Cena looking amazing. I, a lot of people will criticise John Cena. We brought this up on Tuesday Night Jaw before. John Cena's not in many bad matches as a rule. And him with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, he wasn't selfish, will be thrown around by him. And this match, genuinely, oh boy. If you've not seen it, why haven't you? It was great back at the time. But seriously, go back and watch this. Definitely go back and watch this. In fact, if you don't watch all the top 10 matches I'm giving you now, at least watch the top three, because this, yeah, that's great. Genuinely great. Okay, we get to my top two. Number two, back to 2003. Mentioned him earlier on as one of my wild cards, Kurt Angle. Taking on Chris Benoit for the WWE Championship. No Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin at ringside, who were, of course, part of Angle's Team Angle at the time. it's always difficult when choosing a Chris Benoit thing. Chris Benoit, personal life, clearly horrible things that he did. Clearly, you know, a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And I'm not defending the person that Chris Benoit became. However, from a wrestling fan standpoint, Chris Benoit has been involved in some of my favourite matches of all time, and it was, whether you like it or not, an absolutely unbelievable performer in the ring. You know, obviously some of his style in the ring and some of what he did will have added to the shortening of his life and what he did. I always do this whenever I talk about Benoit. I always feel bad talking about Benoit because I know, you know, to all extents and purposes, what he did makes him a monster, and it does. But as a wrestler, was a phenomenal talent. And him and Kurt Angle, for someone like me and what I like in wrestling, was kind of a dream match back at the time. Kurt Angle won this match by submission, but just wonderful back and forth contest, and exactly what you would expect from two talents at the time, you know, in 2003, like Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit, two people absolutely very much at the top of their game. So massive fan of this match, huge fan of this match, and I, you know, I genuinely recommend you go and watch it, because it's just technically, from a technical standpoint, tremendous. My final choice, my number one and my top ten wrestling matches from the Royal Rumble is one of my favourite, arguably my favourite, is it my favourite WWE match? No, it's my second favourite WWE match of all time. My favourite WWE match of all time is Money in the Bank 2011, CM Punk, John Cena, just in case you were wondering. So my number one choice is from 2000, as you may have successfully guessed earlier on, the street fights between Triple H and Cactus Jack. It's just so good. I was reminded by Mark Dallas from ICW on Twitter today, this Royal Rumble was shown on Channel 4 in the UK, so I remember being able to watch it in my bedroom, because in 2000 I was 22 years old and still at university. I had lived at home. Just brilliant. I know there's a couple of little things where they substitute a real barbed wire bat for one which doesn't have real barbed wire on, and little things like that. But, you know, having the feel of a seedy Japanese death match in Madison Square Garden, the sort of horror film, the sort of slasher film mentality of Cactus Jack, even though he's the babyface in the situation, never being beaten, never being knocked down, never giving up, and just keeping coming and going after Triple H all the time, and Triple H having to kill him to get rid of him, it felt like it was an amazing moment towards the end. I know Mick Foley still wrestled, but this was towards the end of his full-time career, shall we say. So towards the end of his full-time career, this was a brilliant point for Mick Foley to have an amazing match like that, especially as before, you know, leading up to this, he was out of shape. He got super into shape, super ready for this match, and looked amazing. And it made Triple H. It made Triple H wasn't the huge authority figure that he is now. At this point, Triple H was, I want to say, in his first reign as champion. So they really, really, really did a great job of establishing him as someone who would rest at nothing to destroy an opponent. And Cactus Jack's exactly the right person to go up against there. You know, wonderful, wonderful match. So many stories told in it. So much good action. And really still stands up now. You watch that. You go and watch that now. Trust me. Royal Rumble 2000. Triple H, Cactus Jack. You'll watch it and go, yeah, Jim was right. Tuesday Night Jaw was right. It's brilliant. And then I need to choose a Royal Rumble match. I think this is what most of you will choose. I choose the Royal Rumble match from 1992 that Ric Flair won from, you know, being in pretty much from the beginning. I'm not the biggest Ric Flair. I love Ric Flair, and I appreciate what Ric Flair's done for the industry, but I'm slightly too young to be a massive... I'm 38, but I'm slightly too young to be a massive, massive Ric Flair fan. Especially because it was harder to see Ric Flair matches in the UK in his absolute peak when I was a kid. I caught up on them eventually, and you know, I was familiar with his battles with Ricky Steamboat and Terry Funk back in NWA, and his matches with Sting in WCW. But for a lot of people, me included, this was my first big exposure to Ric Flair, was when he came to WWF for that brief stint. And I remember watching this at the time, at age 14. I was 13, I wasn't even 14 yet. It's just nearly 14. I remember seeing this match because I used to get my mum to tape the WWF pay-per-views. And then I'd watch them like the next night when I got home from school. And I remember watching this and being blown away that Ric Flair had won it, because I didn't expect Ric Flair to win it. And I appreciated how good he was in it. And since I've become a wrestling fan and the wrestling nerd that I am now, every now and again I'll just go back and watch this and go, oh, this was... what a performance. And don't forget, Ric Flair wasn't a young man at this point. I don't know if Ric Flair's ever been a young man, but he certainly wasn't a young man at this point. He must have been early 40s, I want to say. It's a brilliant match. I think it's the best Royal Rumble. I certainly... critically, it's the most critically acclaimed Royal Rumble, I think, just with people really appreciating it, and you know, it telling the story of Ric Flair and getting Ric Flair immediately over as a heel champion and really proving a point. I think the Rumble that Benoit won was great. I think a couple of the Rumbles that Steve Austin won were great. The one that Lesnar won, which I think was in 2003, was enjoyable for me. I think it was the one at Edge, either Edge or John Cena won, where CM Punk spent most of the match on the microphone. That was a good fun one as well. But for me, 1992 Royal Rumble match. So again, if you want to give me your list, your top 10 matches, don't forget, these are the rules. You can only choose one match per pay-per-view. You can only choose, and that includes the Rumble match itself. You can only choose one match per pay-per-view. And for your non-Rumble matches, you can only choose each wrestler at once. Okay, got it. And tweet, just again, screenshot it, send me a picture at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw, and pick your dream Rumble roster as well. That's it. Thanks for bearing with me. Thanks for bearing with me with my slight cold and my slightly quiet voice and possibly my baby crying in the background. Obviously, we're on the Distraction Pieces Network. Support the Distraction Pieces Network. Support this podcast. Rate and review and subscribe it and recommend it to people and point people at jimsmallman.com/TNJ. I am working on getting some merch that will... I've not worked out how I'm going to do it yet, but there will be some Tuesday Night Jaw merch soon, which will help, basically help me travel around and interview people and get to London to do the roundtables and stuff like that. Me, myself, jimsmallman.com. If you want to download my stand-up show that I did last year, it's jimsmallman.com/mygirls. There's a clip of it on my website, me telling a story about my daughter liking Metallica. Just watch that. If you like it, share it about, maybe download it for $5. I'd be super grateful. I appreciate it. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Tweet me at Jim Smallman. Next week will be the Royal Rumble roundtable with myself, Scroobius Pip, a couple of cool guests, chatting about the Royal Rumble whilst very bleary-eyed on a Monday afternoon, and then we'll put it out maybe even early on the Monday afternoon, but it'll definitely be out by the Tuesday, so you guys can enjoy it. Because where this one has dropped a little bit late, but I'm super busy. I got loads on, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a baby. It's really, really difficult. I've sat waiting for my car to be fixed for most of today, preparing this. but yeah. Hope you enjoyed this. I know a lot of you guys like these lists. I know the most popular things when I put them out are always the roundtables or the interviews with cool people like William Regal or Jack Gallagher or Johnny Saint. But you know, sometimes I like to do these lists, and I think in the lead up to Royal Rumble, when we're all excited about it, it's a cool thing to do. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Thanks for spending an hour with me, and I will see you next week with some lovely guests. Enjoy the Royal Rumble. If you come into Progress on Sunday in Camden and you see me, high five me. You know you don't even need to explain it. A lot of people do this at shows. I'm super grateful. So just high five me. I always like to see you. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for supporting this little podcast. Keep spreading the word, and I'll see you next week. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.